and chapter 14 and Revelation and chapter 21. I'm going to use those just for a diving board this morning and dive into what God's laid on my heart that I should preach today. And appreciate so much that we can look at heaven. Last week we looked at the fact that our body's going to be changed, and because this body is corruptible, and we're going to put on a incorruptible, praise the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed and we're going to be gone. And if we go by way of the cemetery, again, understand that we're still going to be changed, praise the Lord. There is a division in death. There is a separation in death that we saw dividing the body, soul, and spirit. Praise the Lord. If you're here and you're a born-again Christian, we know from God's Word that that division is not is only temporary. And our soul and spirit are caught up to immediately be with our Lord at our departure from this earth. John 14. And I think I have a bookmark also in Revelation, chapter 20. Nope, I missed. 21. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You follow along in your Bible as I read some precious promises that I trust that we are familiar with. John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe ye, believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Open to Revelation chapter 21 and look at God's Word there. I want you to think of everything that's transpired here between that promise given by the Lord Jesus Christ to the disciples and where we're at right here in Revelation chapter 21. A lot of, again, prophecy has been fulfilled in between the two. There's been a 1,000-year reign of Christ in Jerusalem. There's been a great white throne judgment. And here we are now at the close of that, and the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." That is the great culmination of everything that God wanted from Genesis 1:1. Is that you and I could dwell, that mankind could dwell with him. They did it in the Garden of Eden. And again, there's coming a day when we're going to do it forever and ever, and that's what we're reading here. Verse 4. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for the great promise. Thank you for the eternal hope. And Father, I pray again that you would just touch your words, that they would comfort each of us on this day. We'll give you the praise in the name of Christ, we pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to open again your Bibles now to Psalm chapter 1. I must consider a few more things that's going to happen. Psalm chapter 107, I'm sorry. That's going to happen while we're here in this flesh. What I read you, and you can outline this week, is the seven no mores that are in that city. I just read you a few of them. But there's a list there of seven no mores that are in heaven. And listen, before you can appreciate the seven no mores in heaven, there's some things that you've got to go through here on this earth. And we might ask, why is this happening to me? And I want to again delve into some of that here this morning and answer that question. And so we're not going to be camped out in heaven this morning, but instead we're going to look at some of the things that happen to us here on this earth that are going to make heaven all the more sweeter, that are going to make, again, heaven a place of bliss and a garden, as it were, of paradise. And so as we consider that, I want us to recognize that down here, there's some things that we've got to go through. And I want to preach a little bit about a soul melt. We already looked at, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away, out of the book of James 4. And as we consider that again, understand that the time we have down here is brief, is very brief. And what we go through down here can move us, even as Christians, or especially as Christians, can move us closer to heaven or farther from it. And so again, I want us to recognize here that some things happen in this life that causes, again, that our soul would melt. And I want to preach again the outline given by Pastor Doug Fisher, pastoring First Baptist Church in San Diego, California. I want to preach again some of the things that he outlined here out of Psalms chapter 7. I may have stolen his outline, but I put my words in here to again just express some things from my heart to your dilemma, to your circumstance, and I would not have you miss them. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. Some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. In the meantime, here we are down here. Look with me at Psalms 107, starting in verse 21. Psalms 107 and verse 21. This is a tremendous psalm. I've always enjoyed studying it, but was brought out some depth and some things here at the conference we were at that I had not looked at before. Before we look at these verses, look at first verse 2 and understand who this is written to. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look at verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 5. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now jump back to verse 21 and understand that the theme that's unfolding in this precious psalm is that we have got every intent at praising the Lord God. It is our intent to praise Him, and it needs to be. And this psalm here gives several different situations to where we should praise the Lord in everything, give thanks. And we want to go ahead and emphasize that thought in this section of verses and want you to think about them with great depth this morning. So look again at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. You ever heard it said, God is good? And then in prison they would all reply, all the time. Again, we're not in prison, but that was a learned line when we was up in Auburn. That men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Each one of these praise the Lord as a separate theme. This one is that we would sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. I want to pause here again and think that this is not written just to seafaring men. This is not written to those that have explored the sea. Maybe you've never been on the ocean. Maybe you've never seen a 40-foot wave crest over the dock of Shimea in the Arctic Ocean. It's pretty impressive stuff anyway. So this is written again certainly to those who've seen the sea and know the hand of God and the power of God. But listen, sitting here are some people who have already been in the depths. Some sitting here again, and some of our lives are those that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters. Folks here have and are presently walking through some great waters that overwhelm our soul. And that's what we want to look at here for a little bit. Remember, the purpose of this thing was so that we would praise the Lord in everything. And I want, again, that we would understand the great waters. I titled the penny pulpit I got out of this thing, People of the Deep. Again, there's a copy of that in the back. I printed it up early. Make sure you grab one on the way out. But again, here it says that they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. And so we want to talk about Christians this morning who do business in great waters. I know that Sebrings have attended several funerals this past month. Tammy was here and in Sunday school talked about the month of woe and trouble and heartache and heartbreak, again, that they're presently going through. And so I want, again, to just to look here at this psalm with those glasses on, with them eyes, again, to understand that things we go through in this life are great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep, verse 24. Verse 25 says, For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Who commanded? Who is it that brought the stormy wind into your life? Who is it that, again, brings waves that would overwhelm our soul? It is Him. It is God.
Amen.
And often considered, and often in my prayer, and in talking to people, I say, well, don't think that God brought it. Think more so that God allowed it. And sometimes that makes me feel better. But it doesn't jive with Scripture. The Bible says that God brings things into our life. It may be that cancer that we're all wrestling with again. But God, He does allow things in our lives. But understand here that He brings things into our life. And we don't understand it sometimes. But again, I wanted to emphasize that. And it's brought out here in this psalm. He commandeth and raises the stormy wind. The waves mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Now look at this last phrase in verse 26. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Soul melt. I'd have you consider that God can soften your soul. And He does. And that's good for us. I think about me being in the ministry. I think again about my younger days. I think about going to work with a baseball bat to convince the people around me that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins. I think again of my own harshness and understand that, hey, God needs, even Christians, born-again Christians, He needs to soften our souls. He needs to cause again that we'd have the wisdom in God and be harmless as doves. Okay? And so God softens our souls. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And probably I've not gotten as soft as I need to be again even yet, but God softens us. And sometimes in this world that we live in, praise the Lord, we spent the whole week and didn't turn on the news one time. We accidentally bumped across a couple stories on the radio. Praise the Lord, Trump kicked all of the queers out of the military again. I was impressed. And I didn't hear any of the backlash of all that. I'm sure there was a bunch of it. I didn't get to hear what CNN said about it. Praise the Lord! The news was off, the TV was off all week. Okay, we turned it on at midnight a couple nights to watch Chuck Norris. Where was I? I was praising the Lord. Their soul was melted because of trouble. God softens our lives. But listen. For some of us here, God melts our soul. It's good to have your soul softened. But understand that God also has ability to take our life and to melt our soul. So I want to look just a little bit at that concept as it's found in the Bible. Let's examine soul melt. I'll read you a few verses here. You might want to write them down. Psalm 119, verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously." Understand that that paragraph right there that's given tells that our soul is melted, and there's a reason for it. Notice that it makes us a different person. Notice again that it changes our life. In Hebrew, the word is number 04127 in your Strong's Concordance. And if you can look up Strong's Concordance number, you'd learn a lot by looking up that word mog or melt in Hebrew. It's called melt 5 times, translated in your English Bible. Dissolve 4 times. Faint 3 times. Melt twice, or melted away twice. And consumed and faint-hearted 17 times. It's used in our Bible. The first use ever is found in Exodus 15. "Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away." Listen, some of you have inhabitants of Canaan still living in our lives. Remember, that was a promise in the promised land? That was a problem in the promised land. And listen, soul melt can also make things in our lives melt away. At Jonathan's great victory over the garrison of the Philistines, it says, "And there was a trembling in the host in the field and all among all the people. The garrison and the spoilers, they also trembled. And the earth quaked so that it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of the Saul of Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away." Again, understand that soul melt, our soul melting, can drive things out of our lives, even the enemies of God. Job describes it well in Job chapter 30. Open your Bibles there because I didn't write all this one down. Job chapter 30. You think if there's anyone who had his soul melted, Job qualifies. Job in chapter 30. Look at verse 16. Job 30 and verse 16 says, "And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. Jump down to verse 22. Thou liftest me up to the wind, thou causest me to ride upon it, and dissolvest my substance. He describes well again what it is to have your soul dissolved or melted within you. That was good. Sounded like a light bulb to me. Light bulb gave up the ghost. Life is short. And you never know when it's going to end, all right? You could go out like a light bulb goes, all right? Praise the Lord. The psalmist captures this soul melt very superbly. The heathen raged, the kingdom was moved, thee uttered his voice, the earth melted. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly, thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft, think again of the earth being made soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Lamentations, the Bible says that they're poured out thine heart before the face of the Lord. Jesus knew it. Think of Psalms 22. I'm poured out like water. Jesus went through it. Psalms 107. Again, verse 27 says, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. What's it mean to be at your wits' end? Listen, that's a good place to be. It's very frustrating. You might stagger like a drunken man. You might reel to and fro. But God likes us when we are at our wits' end. To have your wit is to have your understanding. So when you're at your wits' end is you've lost all understanding. When you're at your wits' end, the circumstances just don't make sense anymore. You can't put together why this is happening. You can't understand the situation you're in. It goes over your own soul, as it were. And you can't comprehend all the troubles that's coming. And you're at your wits' end without understanding. And notice the definition here is that they stagger to and fro. And listen, we've been there. Some of us have walked down that street when we just don't know. Beverly forbid a line in our house and which says, what could possibly go wrong next? Don't say that, she'd say. Because it does again. And so God melts the soul here. And again, I want us to see that. God brings us to our wits' end. Why is this happening? We don't know. Because we're at our wits' end. Moses in Numbers chapter 11 was brought to his wits' end. And if you remember, he said, God, just kill me. Elijah, 1 Kings 19, was brought to his wits' end. He too said, Lord, just kill me. He couldn't understand the circumstances. Moses with the complaining people after they had all the bread they could eat. Now they wanted meat. And God said, well, go ahead and give them meat. And Moses said, I'm at my wits' end here with these people. Elijah, of course, when old Jezebel said, you're going to be dead by morning, brought him to his wits' end. The great leader, the great prophet. We already looked at Job, the great rich man, if you're holding any place near Job. Again, look at chapter 3 of the book of Job. Job finally speaks after days. And after this, after those 7 days, and after this, Job opened his mouth, Job chapter 3, and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which I was said, there is a man-child conceived. Look at verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. That which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. At your wit's end. Naomi. I think we're familiar with the book of Ruth enough to know that Naomi came to her wit's end, had her soul melted within her. And listen, Naomi said, call me no more Naomi, which is blessed, but now call me bitter. What was it?
Mara.
I didn't get the Hebrew part down yet. And listen, understand this about Naomi, that your soul melting, when a bitter soul melts, it can turn bitter. When we go through hardships, when we go through trials, God's working some things out of our life, and listen, it can make us bitter, or it can make us sweet. When a sweet soul melts, it's sweet all the way down. Okay? But sometimes God has some bitterness to work out of our life. And to get some victories over that, He allows us through a soul melt. And we turn sweet. Don't turn bitter. Naomi did not turn bitter. Think of Hannah. In fact, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's look at Hannah real quickly. I'm going to go over time because I'm enjoying this too much. First Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 15. Oh, I was looking at the wrong reference. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 15. I said 20 is in the wrong place on my page. It's supposed to be over here. Verse 15 says, And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Consider that before you could pour out your soul before the Lord, you're going to have a soul melt again. Our soul can be melted to the place where we could pour out our soul. And there's Hannah, and that's a description that she gave for what happened to her. Can soul melt be pleasant? If you read Psalm 107, 21 through 30, it can. What was the word we covered in Sunday school that we're not to be in despair? Despair means you have absolutely no hope. And I agree in the strict definition of that a Christian can never go to that place. We can get discouraged. We can get dismayed. I had a plaque given to me by a preacher that says, but never get to despair. We'll never get to despair. Remember Paul, he writes again and says that he were perplexed on every side. He goes through a whole litany of things again that's happened to them and how that's brought them to disillusionment and discomfort. And he runs through a whole bunch of this, but not despair, because we've always got a hope. Look how the hope unfolds here for soul melt. Verse 28, Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And He bringeth them out of their distresses. Who is it that brought the distresses? He did. Don't forget that. Sometimes He brings things into our lives to sweeten us, so that we're able to pour out our soul. He brought them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Verse 30. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Listen, that's where we're going. Some of us have a hard path to get there perhaps, but God is good all the time.
Amen.
No matter what we're going through. Trials of life can soften the soul.
Yes.
But for some, God sends enough trial to completely melt the soul.
Amen.
When a soul is melted, it can be poured out like water. Jesus Christ was in Psalm 22:14. One is there and equipped to pour out their soul to God. Hannah did in 1 Samuel 1:15. At the Northeast Vision Summit, Pastor Doug Fisher aptly described soul melt using Psalm 107:21-30. There, those that, quote, do business in great waters, see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep, unquote. It is God who brings a stormy wind on those deep water people, and, quote, their soul is melted because of trouble, unquote. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you are there now. You surely know someone doing such a meltdown. Know that cancer can put one there. Quote, they reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. At wit's end, one loses all understanding of a situation. None of it makes sense. Why, Lord? What am I supposed to do? We reel to and fro. The leader Moses was there. The prophet Elijah was there. The rich man Job was there. They all said, God, just kill me. But he didn't. Naomi was there and could have turned bitter, but she didn't. Go back and visit why God melts souls. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His words with rejoicing. Keep that foremost and you will soon get to verse 28, 29, and 30, the desired haven. God is good all the time. Heaven's going to be sweet.
Amen.
Because there's no more pain.
Amen.
There's no more sorrow.
Amen.
There's no more goodbyes.
Amen.
There's no more tears.
Amen.
Father, I praise You and thank You for what You've revealed in Your Word about what we'll go through here in this life. Lord, that we could understand that Your hand is on our soul. Father, we praise You for that. We acknowledge it this morning. Pray that You touch some even here that are going through a soul melt. And as we do, Father, I pray again that You teach us even to touch others that are going through a soul melt. We may not understand it all, but we can see it in Your Word and know again, to God be the glory. Father, touch our worship this morning as we rejoice in Thee. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.